The Bible reading for today comes from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages we might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. After the message this morning, there'll be the offering. Also, just to mention, we'd normally have the prayers of intercession and thanksgiving at that point. I'll actually include that in the Holy Communion liturgy this morning. So just to let you know, that's what's happening there. We pray. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom and understanding as we continue to look at this passage and reflect upon life and faith in you. May we know you better, love you more, and learn to please you in all that we do through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. There are many ways to live your life, many ways to live your life. And by that I mean in what we let shape us, what we let us motivate. Shape our motivations, our attitudes, our actions, our goals, our relationships, our conversations. There's lots of things that we might let shape us in those ways. Two of those ways that I want to reflect on this morning is in regards to letting grace shape our lives, our living, or alternatively, to live in a way that does not leave any room for grace or mercy. And that's basically what we'll be looking at over the next 7 weeks or so. And want to do this series over the next 7 weeks, which I've called Encounters with Jesus, Grace Awakened. And we'll be looking at various people that Jesus encounters along the way. And our grace is awakened in those moments. How they receive the offer of grace from Jesus in some shape or form, and how it then shapes their life, how it impacts their life. And so we have here what we'll do over the next 7 weeks or so. We'll look at the story of Zacchaeus. That will be next Sunday. This tax collector who was ostracized from his community. And in many ways, as we look at these, I encourage you to reflect upon their story, but also to reflect upon your own story. And are there connections along the way? As you look at this, at Zacchaeus, Jew who was ostracized from his community, and he has an encounter with Jesus that turns his life around. We'll look at when Jesus meets a man with leprosy, and of how Jesus meets with him, reaches out and actually touches him. And the extraordinary moment of grace that is expressed in that. when that was the last thing that anyone should do. We'll look at the thief on the cross that has a request of Jesus even there. Around Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, which is not too far away, we'll actually spend a bit of time looking at the disciples. There's another encounter where a huge crowd of people are following Jesus, and he stops in a moment and he realizes that someone has touched his garment. And the disciples are going, well, Lord, everyone has. But there was a particular moment here, and there's a woman who has suffered terribly for 12 years from an ailment. And in this moment, there's an encounter with Jesus. We'll spend some time looking at that. There's another woman that Jesus meets. And in fact, she's brought to him in a moment of humiliation. And we'll look at how Jesus encounters her. At the end of May, 31st of May, Matt Whitaker will be here from Destiny Rescue. And as Matt shares with us, it's not that far removed from what we'll be talking about when we talk about God's grace and mercy and of the action that follows that. And that's one thing that we'll reflect on just briefly this morning and across these 7 weeks or so, that God's grace comes to us, but it's not simply that. It's not simply God saying, I forgive you. But there's a response that we make to that. There's an action that follows. And so along the way, we'll look at some things of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who talked about costly grace. And for Bonhoeffer, it's costly grace is about recognizing that God forgives us, but then there's a call to follow that happens. And it's the call. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as well. We'll also look at the story of Jean Valjean and Javert from Les Miserables, and which highlights magnificently these two different lives, a life that has been changed and now lives out of grace and mercy, and a life in Javert that is the complete opposite of that, who lives in a way that allows no room for mercy. And so we'll take some time over these weeks to look at that story as well. And then it'll culminate by looking again at the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And, you know, for some of us, you know, we've looked at this 15 million times. But it'll culminate, it's the parable par excellence of where we recognize the heart of God. The heart of God, which we hear in this passage from Ephesians chapter 2 as well. So that's what's coming up over the next 7 or 8 weeks, and including Pentecost that we'll look at as well, encounters with Jesus, and particularly looking at how grace is awakened. And of course, this is what we saw last week, last Sunday, as we shared together in baptism. And I mentioned there that this is this beautiful picture of grace received, acknowledged, and realized. And then there's a response to that, acknowledging that this is the way that we will live and how it's important for us at any stage of our Christian journey to recognize that and to look at how we respond to the grace of God that's found in Jesus Christ. And I just want to read this quote from Simon Tugwell from a book called Prayer. And I think in many ways this kind of sums up what the next 7 weeks will be about. He writes this, however many cues we have missed, however many wrong turnings we have taken, however unnecessarily we may have complicated our journey, the road still beckons and the Lord still waits to be gracious to us, as it says in Isaiah 30. The road still beckons and the Lord still waits to be gracious to us. And so this morning is simply want to mention about these and reflect fairly briefly on this passage from Ephesians chapter 2. And as we look at all these stories, as I said, I encourage you just to pause and to reflect upon their story and your story, and about what it is to live a life of grace, to live within God's grace and mercy, and of how that impacts you. And along with that, and hopefully as you came in this morning, you had this sheet here that you might have got, which is a 7-week Bible reading plan from Luke's Gospel. And I'm hoping that over these 7 weeks that you'll keep this alongside you as well during the week. Now, not all of these are from Luke's Gospel. There's from different parts, but there's a few that are. And I just want to encourage you and to take the opportunity to read through Luke's Gospel over the next 7 to 8 weeks, at least up until the Passion of Christ. Why did I stop there? No particular reason, but it was the 7 weeks, and also we reflected a little bit back at Easter on what took place after Jesus enters Jerusalem. So I've set out some questions there, just some things to think about, but also this plan of certain number of chapters per week, and I really, really encourage you to do that and to take the opportunity to look through Luke's Gospel. Because I think here is, as I said, we culminate with the story of the prodigal son, and which tells of the heart of God, and it's a heart that is of grace and mercy, and how that's offered to us again and again, and it's offered to us again here this morning around the Lord's table, where we have the invitation to gather through the grace and the mercy of God. So let's have a quick look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, and a couple of final thoughts, and then we'll finish for this morning. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul's writing to the church in Ephesus, the first 3 chapters God has done for us in Jesus, and then chapters 4, 5, and 6, he says, well, this is what it then means in the way that you live. This is what God has done for you in Christ. This is then how you should live your life. Here is Ephesians chapter 2, and it fits really well, I think, with what we want to look at, because it tells us something about us, and it tells us a lot about God and what God has done for us. And I just want to highlight a few things as we go along here. Initially, Paul here is talking to the Gentiles. He's saying how they lived in a particular way, they walked in a particular way. And walk here is simply a metaphor for life, their life. This was their former life. This was the way that they walked. He said they were dead in their transgressions. That is, that they were walking in a way that was far from God. That was far from God. We just think it in that simple sort of picture. And as I said at the start, there's ways that we choose to live our life. And is it a life that is turned towards God, or is it a life that is turned away from God? And Paul says here that there was a time when people walked in a certain way. That was a way where people were dead in their transgressions, in their sins. They were spiritually dead. And then he brings it into, well, it's all of us, including the Jewish people as well, that are all in the same boat, so to speak. But then there's verse 4, and verse 4 is the turning point in this passage. But God who is rich in mercy. But God who is rich in mercy, it says. And this is the turning point in this passage. This was the way that we used to live. But God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive, made us spiritually alive through Christ. And so here's this statement about the nature of God, that the nature of God is to have mercy. rich in mercy and the love. It talks about the love here of God in extraordinary, extreme ways. God's love is exceeding love. That great hymn by Charles Wesley, Love Divine or Love's Excelling. God's love is the love that excels all other loves. And this is what Paul points to here. The love of God is no small thing. It's an extraordinary and exceeding love that God has for this world. And when Paul talks about world, world is often seen as a negative thing. It's a bit like when he talks about the flesh, that you once lived in the ways of the flesh. For Paul, flesh is a thing that's corrupted. It's not what God would want it to be. But this is the world that God so loved. This is us that God so loved, that Jesus came amongst us. God, who is rich in mercy, and goes on to say that we are saved by grace. That we are saved by grace. Because if you're dead spiritually, you can't do anything to snap out of that. It's completely at the initiative of God. We are saved by grace. We are saved by the initiative of God. And this is what we'll look at again over these next 7 weeks. We are saved by grace alone. And then towards the end, he talks about that we are saved for good works that God has prepared for us. And the prepositions here are really important. The preposition is that we are saved for good works, not by good works. Positions are really, really important. We're not saved by good works. We're saved for God, for good works. Grace happens, the good works follow. It's in that order. We have to live in a certain way that God calls us to live, but it's in a response to the grace of God. The grace of God. Just a couple of thoughts to finish. And as I say, just this morning, it was mainly an introduction to what the next 7 weeks is and to touch on this passage from Ephesians. And when I find... Here we go. You've got the reflections for this month, but last month in April reflections, I did reflect a little bit upon grace. And I gave this quote from... Bono and U2, and I've been a fan of U2 for many, many years, and even saw them, and many of you would have been in Festival Hall. Remember Festival Hall? Man, saw U2 in Festival Hall back in 1983, I think it was. You know, I was 7 at the time, but no, I wasn't. No. I was a little bit older than that. And I have followed them ever since, and it's been really interesting to watch their journey, and certainly of late, over the last few years. Bono's always been pretty overt about faith, and as has two of the other members of the band as well. But that's even more so of late. And maybe now, as he's in his 60s, he is reflecting quite deeply upon these things. There was a song that they wrote back that he wrote back in the year 2000, and it was a song about grace. She carries a pearl in perfect condition. What once was hurt, what once was friction, what left a mark no longer stings, because grace makes beauty out of ugly things. We pray. Lord God, as we... launch into this series over the next couple of months, I pray that you'll help us to be open to what you want to reveal to us about the nature of who you are. Draw us closer to you and to have this deeper understanding of grace and mercy and how it is that we are to live our lives, as we pray in and through the name of Christ. Amen. Yeah.